Okay, we're up to Simon Shinayin Beis, Sif Tezayin. Okay, Sif Tezayin, which is on page Resh Mem Beis, which comes after page 482. And after 482, Resh Mem Beis, Sif Tezayin, Chorit Shebein Shtei Chatziros. Now we're discussing another example again, the theme of our discussion is two courtyards. When are they permitted to join together in a single Erev, and when are they required to make a separate Erev? So here, Simon Tezayin, we have a new situation. No longer are we dealing with walls. Now we're going to deal with a different situation where the division is in depth. There is a charitz. There is a ditch. Some type of furrow. What's a good word?
Depression
or some type of trench that goes between the two courtyards. And the question is this trench significant to separate the two courtyards from each other? So the answer is hence. If it's 10 tfachim deep and 4 tfachim wide, that is the equivalent of a wall. And if this trench goes from end to end, the two courtyards are in halacha considered completely separate, and there is no way in the world that these two courtyards can join together in a single Erev. What about putting something on the surface of the trench, on the bottom? Same exact rules we had with the wall. If they're exactly the same, there's no difference between courtyard A and courtyard B, then there's a conflict, and no one is allowed to take an object from his home and put it on the surface of the trench, because that trench is shared by both courtyards, and you're taking from a reshutz that's unique for one individual and putting it in a reshutz that's shared by a group. So here we have the basic rules: charitz, a trench, shebein shtei chatzeros, amok asara, it's 10 tefachim deep, v'rochav arba'at tefachim wide, ein yicham l'arv yachad, it's forbidden to join together in one group eruv, afilu molei teven v'kasha. Here we want to be mevatel, we want to demolish this trench. How do we demolish the trench? By filling it up. Bring in a bulldozer, fill it up with earth. So if you fill up with earth, actual earth, stones and pebbles, of course, then no longer is there a trench. It's like knocking down the wall. But if you store in the trench food, what kind of food? Kash v'teven, teven the kash, what's kash tev straw? This is animal food. And it's not going to remain there forever. Eventually you're going to remove it from the trench and you're going to give it to your animals to eat. So it's only a temporary storage location. It cannot serve as a bittul. It cannot serve as a bittul for the trench. So afilu mole teven v'kash, even if you fill it with teven v'kash, calls man shalei bitlo, if you did not explicitly announce, declare, put out an end of the paper, that the teven v'kash will remain in the trench forever, if you don't make that announcement, then we have to assume that it's only there temporarily. You'll eventually retrieve it, and then you'll have your trench, your ditch, that's 10 tefachim deep and 4 tefachim wide, and that's not a wall. So even at this moment in time, when the straw is present, it's not a bittul, and the wall exists, and the two courtyards may not join together. Vim hayamali offer utzlos, it goes without saying, you fill it with dirt, with earth and pebbles, afilu stoma, even without any announcement, without sometimes if you fill up with earth and pebbles, those pebbles may be unique. You may have kavana to use this for some building, for some construction project. So maybe it's also not considered to be a bittul. Maybe it's only being stored there temporarily, and then the wall is not, the ditch is not bottul. No, the assumption is any time you fill up a trench with earth and pebbles, it is bottul and is mutter. Even if we assume that it is bottle, now if it's bottle, it's one playing field, it's one level of reshus, the two courtyards are automatically joined together, and you are required to make a single Erev, because there is no wall. If there is no wall, it's just one large courtyard. If it's one large courtyard, the only way you can make an Erev is if every single resident joins together in a single Erev. Third case. So far the Mechaber discussed two cases. He discussed Teven Vekash. He discussed Ofar Tzreros. Now we have a third scenario where you fill up your dish with fruit. Now we say fruit, we don't necessarily mean apples and oranges. It also can mean grain. animal things that are used by human beings, which are not going to perish. They're not non-perishables. Grain. So what is the law? Yeshayimrim the imilla beperos stama bitlula v'darkon laso shama. It's because fruit is something we're dealing with. Whatever we're dealing with, dry. Obviously, we're dealing with fruit, which dried fruit or grain. It is customary to store for long periods of time, prolonged periods of time. Therefore, it's called batel. Anything that will remain for a period of time, for a significant period of time, in which you're not going to remove, can serve as a halachic wall. Just because it's edible doesn't mean it can't serve as a wall. So when it comes to straw, tevin vakash, it's not going to remain there for a long time because animals are always eating. They need to eat. But peros, it seems, at least in the time of the Mechaber and the Ramah, were things that were stored for a long period of time. Now, what about Shabbos? And the Mishnah Berurah, Shabbos, there's another issue. According to some opinions, only halacha will be true if the fruit is tevel. You have not yet separated trumos and maestros. If you do not separate trumos and maestros, it is osur to eat. Not only is it osur to eat, it's even muksa. And therefore, you're not allowed to consume it on Shabbos. If you're not going to consume it on Shabbos, obviously it's not going anywhere. If it's not going anywhere, it can serve as a wall, or it can serve as a way to be mevatel the trench. Let's see the Mishnah Berurah inside Kuf Chaf Dalet. Kuf Chaf Dalet Behaga the Sham Hevi Shtei Deos in Bilul Shabbos Achas Tzad Lufano Sacha Kach Im Chasha Bittel. What's the Luna? He's first referring to. Let's go to Kuf Chaf Hei. That's a different halacha. Kuf Chaf Hei. If you fill up the ditch with fruit, your intent is to leave it there for a prolonged period of time. You're not going to use it. He doesn't like this. He disagrees. Anything that is meant to be eaten by human beings, there's a very high probability someone will come on Shabbos and eat it, and it will no longer be there. And then you no longer have a bittel, and once again we have a separation between the two courtyards. He disagrees. The girl also disagrees with halacha that fruit is does not, in maybe in our times things have changed since the time of the Shulchan Aruch. Fruit or things that are edible are not considered to serve as a bittel for a trench. The dafka, the peros tivolim. The only time we can be lenient is if the fruit has not is also la'achila because you have not yet separated truma and ma'aser. Shudavar she'ein litol b'shabbos ulechein stam b'votol ha shah peris. But if you have other types of food which are edible because you did separate trumos and ma'aseros ha shah peros shemutul estabik mihem stam einoin b'votol. So another example of where we have a Mechaber and Ramah, and the Mishnah Berurah comes to the rescue and tells us none of the above. Don't follow. We make yeah. Yes, that's going to be the next halacha. Next few semanim. Yes, we're going to have that. Exactly. Yes, we're coming to that very very soon. Okay, next exactly Yud Zayin. Now we come Nasana Lov Neser. So let's go back to our regular trench. We have a trench. The trench is 10 tefachim deep. It's 4 tefachim wide. Gesundheit. It goes from end to end. It extends the entire length of the courtyard. So we have both courtyards are viewed in halacha to be completely separate. You cannot join together in a single erev. But what you do is you put a board along the trench, like you see in the picture on the left side, picture number 95. We have here the trench. We have here a board which goes from end to end. That will serve as a pesach. What's the advantage? If you want, you can join together in a single Erev. If you don't want, each courtyard can have their own Erev. No one's going to be able to explain a little bit, but what would happen if you make that board from end to end, along the entire length of the courtyard? Then no longer is there a separation. It's not a Pesach. It's better than a Pesach. It's flush. It's one big courtyard. Then the only option is to make a single Erev. Yudzayin, Nosel of Neser, Kimin Gesher, like a bridge. Misfas Hecharitz El Sifaso im Hurachav Arbov, it's put from wide, Choshev to Pesach, it's considered one Pesach, Ume Orvin Echad, and the only solution is to make a single Erev. And therefore, if you want, you can make a single Erev, Vimratsu, but if you want, Ma'arvin Sham, you can make two separate Erevim. Each courtyard can be separate, it's only a Pesach. In Milo Berichav Arba B'davam Vadasham, not only do you have a case there where you put a board on top, if you go and you fill it up, let's say just in that section, in a small section of four tefachim, you fill up that part of the trench with earth and pebbles, so that small section now has been closed, it's a bridge. And you can, if you wish, make a single Erev. If you wish, you can make two separate Erevim. V'im nasa nesel urcha charitz. Let's say you put the board along the length of the charitz, b'meshech arba, afilu ein bo yelo kolshu, choshev kepesach, shari miyato me arba. That's the next picture on the bottom, picture number 96. Picture 96, you see someone put a board along the distance between courtyard to courtyard is exactly four tefachim. You put a board on the top that cuts the distance from four tefachim to two tefachim. That is sufficient. Now the distance between the two is only four tefachim. Anything less than four tefachim we consider to be flushed, open. We now have a halachic Pesach, and if the two courtyards wish, they can join together in a single Erev.
Are you saying that with the board that only spans half the distance, that still acts as a halachic Pesach?
Correct, because in order to create a halachic Pesach, it just has to be reduced less than four tefachim. And that's what has been accomplished here, and that is sufficient. Just need to reduce the gap less than four tefachim. Yudches. Im hecharitz omok liyachad asara, v'lasheni ein omok. So this parallels law of the wall. If the charitz, you have two different courtyards, and for one courtyard is higher than the other. There are different levels. And there's a charitz. There's a charitz between the two courtyards. So for the courtyard above, the charitz goes all the way down 10 tefachim. For the courtyard below, the charitz only goes down 5 tefachim. Can these two courtyards join together in a single Erev? The answer is no, because there is still a wall. If there is, let's review the case we learned yesterday. If there is a two courtyards, and for one, we learned that yesterday, the whole entire week, there are two courtyards, and one courtyard is higher than the other, and on top of the courtyard, there's a little wall, there's a small wall which extends further. So with the wall and the depth, let's take a step back, the difference in height between the upper courtyard and lower courtyard is 5 tefachim. 5 tefachim is fine. It's as if they're flush. Not only are they connected, they can only make a single Erev, because 5 tefachim is insignificant. Anything that's less than tefachim is insignificant. But let's say we have 5 tefachim, and on top of the courtyard there's also a wall that's 5 tefachim, so in total we have 10 tefachim. The depth is 5, and the height is 5, so for a grand total of 10. So what did we learn in the previous Seifim? That in this situation you cannot make a joint Erev. The reason being because since at least for one of the two courtyards there is a height of 10 tefachim, for the lower courtyard there's a total distance of 10 tefachim, we combine the 5 of the depth with the 5 of the wall for 10, the two cannot join together in a single Erev. But what was the other chiddush, the primary chiddush that we discussed in great detail in this regard? Who gets the use of the top of the wall? And the answer was, it was given to the courtyard that is higher. Why? Because for them it's convenient, since they only have to go to the top of the wall 5 tefachim, and the lower courtyard, in order for them to reach the top of the wall, they have to extend their hands 10 tefachim. It's more convenient to extend your hands 5 tefachim than 10 tefachim, and therefore we give exclusive rights to the surface of the wall, where the wall is 4 tefachim wide, to the upper courtyard. We apply the same exact principle here in this case. We have two courtyards, and there are different levels. One is a 5 tefachim, and one is 5 tefachim lower. And in addition to the second courtyard being 5 tefachim lower, there's also a trench in between the two courtyards that goes to a depth of 5 tefachim. So when we combine the difference of height with the trench of 5 tefachim, it's a grand total of 10. Being there is a grand total of 10, at least for one of the courtyards, the two courtyards cannot, under any condition, join together in a single layer. Next issue, who gets use of the trench? Who gets use of the surface of the trench?
What's the surface of the trench?
The depth, right? It goes all the way down. and there's a, on the bottom, on the ground, there's a flat area that's four tefachim wide. So are you allowed to take something from your home into the courtyard and put it down on the ground? So if everything is exactly the same, we have two courtyards, they're at the same level, and there's a trench that's 10 tefachim deep, no one is allowed to take an object from their home and put it on the surface of the trench. Because that area on the bottom is of equal use for both courtyards. It's equal. For me it's 10 tefachim, for you it's 10 tefachim. We conflict. I cannot, like we shared, I cannot take from my home and put it in the rishus that's shared by two parties. But if for me it's only 5, and for you it's 10, how do you have a situation where for me it's 5, for you it's 10, is where there are different levels, and in addition to different levels, there's also a trench that's 5 tefachim, so the lower courtyard it's more convenient, he only has to bend down 5 tefachim, for the upper courtyard it's less convenient, because he has to bend down 10 tefachim, we give exclusive rights to the surface of the trench to the lower courtyard, not to the upper courtyard. This is an exact parallel to what we learned yesterday, 2 days ago, with regard to a wall. Same exact thing.
It's also similar in terms of when you have a wall that's 10 tefachim and there's a section that's 1 tefach lower so that it's 9 for a breadth of 4 amos, right?
Yes.
And that acts as a petach, right?
Say it again.
You said there were 3 things that act as a halachic petach.
Yes.
In a wall. If it's 10 tefachim high, then if one section of the wall is 1 tefach lower,
correct,
make it 9, that's a halachic petach.
Yes.
If there's a window that's by
correct.
Almost, right?
Or there's a ladder.
Or if there's a ladder.
Correct. Correct.
So we talked about spanning the whole width as being one type of halachic petzak, if it's
correct.
Dal amos wide. I was wondering if you fill up one amma on the surface of the trench with something.
Yes, it's the first of Mishnah Berurah. Yes, yes. I didn't read all the Mishnah Berurah, but Mishnah Berurah explicitly says that it's correct. That is correct. If you have the trench that's like the case of the Mishnah Berurah, the picture on picture number 96 is where you are diminishing it with the board. If you fill up the trench with a certain section that we're now in that area, it's only 9 tefachim, right? That in a width of 4 tefachim, that also can serve as a halachic pesach. Correct. The Mishnah Berurah says that explicitly somewhere over here on the page. I don't remember exactly, but it's somewhere here. Can you tres? If you chase the mecharitz amak echad asar l'sheni inamak asara, or yeshuhu shavel l'shneihem, or it's equal. Dinai kikaisel has the same exact laws that we learned 2 days ago with regard to it, which we just finished explaining. Yutes gadish shel teve. Now we discuss a different case. Okay, so now we're finished with the trenches. Now we're discussing a movable wall, a wall that's not a real wall, a wall that's made from food. When we discussed in the beginning, when we started today, you have a trench, and you want to be mevatel the trench. How you mevatel the trench? You fill it up. How do you fill it up? So we had 3 examples, either with pebbles and earth, which is ideal, right? That's the best way. The trench doesn't exist, even if it's high-quality pebbles and stones. Question was, maybe you want to use these pebbles and stones for some other purpose? No. Stoma, pebbles and stones, automatically, they're there to remain. It's mevatel the trench. The second example was straw. Kash v'teven. The Mechaber says, no. Straw, kash v'teven, is not a shidduch with earth. Earth is the real deal. Kash v'teven, it's not going to be there forever. Someone's going to take it away. Animals will eat it. You'll take it away. That's not a bittul. And then the third case was fruit. Fruit, maybe you want to store here for a prolonged period of time. So we had the discussion. The Mechaber says, yeah. The Rama says it's bottle. The Mishnah Berurah says from the Gra, the Magen Avraham, it's not bottle. The only exception is if the food is off limits because it's tevel, then it is bottle. Okay, that's where we're using objects to be mevatel a trench. New case, no more trenches. The earth is flat. Okay, it's not round. The world is flat. And we want now make a wall. How are we going to make a wall? Food. It's the best possible food. What kind of food? Straw. Here, animal food. Straw. So we're going to have a goddish. We're going to stack up food, animal food, straw, up to a height of 10 tefachim. Can this serve as a wall between two courtyards so that if this goddish goes from end to end, we can, each one must make their own separate area. Or maybe it's insignificant, the fact that I've piled up some piles of straw and we have to make a single area. Or maybe it's a Pesach. So here the rules are, Gadish Shel Teven Shemein Shtei Chatzeros, two courtyards. Now, I want you to keep in mind, there's a difference in this halacha between a courtyard and a bayis. Okay, just keep that in mind. The word chatzer, sometimes you know, it says, well, you don't focus and realize the significance of a word. Here, it's very clear, we're coming to make a gadish between two courtyards. What is the main characteristic of a courtyard? There is no ceiling. The most significant characteristic of a bayis is there's a ceiling. That's not the only, they have to live there. Karfef technically also can have a ceiling.
What's that mistake?
What?
A what?
A karfef. A karfef means an enclosure. An enclosure that's not for the purpose of living. It's storage. A bayis is an enclosure for the purpose of living. You eat, you sleep, you conduct your affairs in a bayis. The key, the most significant characteristic of a bayis, besides the fact you live there, is that it has a ceiling. It's not just walls. A chatzer does not have a ceiling. And that detail is critical for our understanding of this halacha. There is no ceiling between the two courtyards. If this wall is 10 tefachim tall, kol echad marv li'atzmo. Excellent. So we assume it's not going anywhere. The Mechaber is very lenient. He says that the Gadish is not going to disappear, and each one makes their own separate Eruv. If they go from end to end, they're completely separated, they cannot join together. Nismayit b'chol me'asara. What happens if during the week, now in Shana, we'll say, during the weekday, it's Monday morning, Thursday after Thursday morning, and someone comes along, and the animals start eating. And by eating, now it's gone down from 10 tefachim to 9 tefachim, and tomorrow is Shabbos, so of course it's Shabbos, that's it, it's over. Shabbos, only not, the wall is only 9 tefachim, the animals have consumed the top tefach, it's only 9 tefachim, so now both courtyards must make a single Erev. Nismayit b'chol, me'asar tzrichim l'arv yachad. Uve'oi ch'loi nismayit, osur l'shum echad mehem litin aminatevim l'soch kuposo b'shabbos l'achilu b'hunted. Let's say it's Shabbos, okay, that's a new case, it's Shabbos. And Shabbos began its 10 tefachim. Now we have the principle when it comes to Eruv Chatzeros, Kevan Shechutra Chutra. Eruv, only Eruv Chatzeros. Don't be confused with the halacha of Tzuras HaPesach. If you have, if the Mechitzos come crashing down on Shabbos, then that's it, you got to stop carrying. If you have a community Eruv where there is a series of telephone poles and there are wires and there's a storm and the wires come down, you no longer have the Tzuras HaPesach, you no longer have mechitzos, walls, that's it, you're not allowed to carry, it's over. There's no such thing of kevan shehutra hutra. People make this mistake. People, since when Shabbos began, they know it's amazing, they know this shalom shahalacha, and they know this. When it comes to the leniencies, people, they know, all the lums, you know, there's a famous story with a certain dayan. And he had a din Torah involving a lot of money. It was not a lot of money. And who comes into court? The two people are fighting. The two people come to the din Torah. They're two Balei Dinim. They were F students in yeshiva. They, in Talmud, they got an F minus. They didn't learn one word. The shir slept. You couldn't teach them. It was thick. This can possibly be. Could not put into their head a svara. And here, they're dealing with money, and they're fighting it out, and this one says, he did this, and as they fight, each one presents their arguments. And it's a complicated sugya in Chesha Mishpat. And this one says this argument. And the other one counters, says, no, that's not a good reason because of this. And the other one retorts back this and this. And this dad is listening, and as he's listening, the lights are going off. What he just said is a rashva. What he just said is the ktsais is kasha on the rashva. What he just said is the nesiva is his answer. And he just said a ber hagra. And they're arguing with the greatest lumdus. So why was it that when yeshiva 20 years ago, you go, you write to be the dayanim, the svaris, the brilliant, this is, you're going through kol haTorah kula. Teretz is, here we're dealing with money. We're dealing with money. It's $1 million. This makes a big, it hurts. So for this, all of a sudden, you wake up, you pay attention. This halacha, kevan shehudra hudra, is a lamdasha halacha. This is a fast that we learned. We spent the whole sermon on this. When do you say kevan? It's extremely complex. When you say kevan shehudra hudra, when you do not say. But people right away, oh, there's an eruv, and there's the bungalow colony, and the poles go all the way around, and all of a sudden on Shabbos, someone noticed that one of the poles fell down, and no more do we have it, Surah Pesach. All of a sudden, people don't know from anything. All of a sudden, they become the biggest lamdanim. Kevan shehutra hutra. Ve'yash mashos. It was good. So it was good for the rest of Shabbos. No such thing. You don't say kevan shehutra hutra with regard to mechitzos. You say it with regard to eruv chatzeros. Well, you have mechitzos. If you have four walls, minatar, you can carry all you want. If we have two courtyards, and there's a trench, or there's a wall, so what? The bottom line is, around the perimeter of both courtyards is completely closed. There's no gap whatsoever. The only problem is, in order to carry from your home to the center, to each court, you must make a new vichatzeros. You have to join together with bread. Not because of the four walls, because it resembles going from your private rishos to a joint, communal rishos. So now the wall in the center falls down, or the wall falls down, You have some type of problem. You have the wall in the center falls down. So now we no longer have this our eruv. What are we going to do now? Being that it's only an issue of eruv echatzero, it's not an issue of real mechitzos. Here is where we apply the principle of kevan shehutra hutra. So here's our example. We have here one very big area, and in this one very big area, someone piled up a massive stack of grain, of kash. Shabbos begins. When Shabbos begins, everything is in order. There's a real mechitza. Courtyard A made their own eruv chatzeros. Courtyard B made their own eruv chatzeros. So now, all of a sudden, my animal is hungry. It's not satisfied. He doesn't like my cooking. The cholent got burnt. Doesn't like my cooking. He wants the straw. So no, let the animal go out and eat some of the straw. What's the big deal? Oh, maybe he'll go and he'll eat the straw. Maybe he'll have a big appetite. He'll eat so much straw that he'll diminish the entire surface of the wall from 10 tefachim to 9 tefachim. And now no longer will be a halachic wall. And if there's no longer a halachic wall, we're all one big courtyard. We need one big eruv. And we did not make one big eruv. Each courtyard made their own separate eruv. What's the problem? It's only a chashash. Maybe the animal will do. And even if he does, kevan shehutra hutra. Right? Kevan shehutra hutra. So what's the big deal? We should not be concerned. So the Mechaber says, no. You don't abuse. Don't abuse kevan shehutra hutra.
Could you give a little title?
Since it was permitted, it remains permitted. If when Shabbos began, at this moment in time, all systems go, even if hutra, kevan, since when Shabbos went hutra, it's permitted, then if something goes wrong on Shabbos, which under normal circumstance would prevent us from allowing the Erev to operate, we overlook it. Hutra, it remains permitted. It remains permitted despite the fact that there is a real problem. Once we got through, it's like your grandfather. Right now, if you'll be held up to the new laws, to the new regulations, you'll be denied. But your grandfather, when I got in, I was good. So just because the situation changed, doesn't matter. You get to stay on.
Is that the halacha we're basing the fact that if we have a kosher area before Shabbos,
yeah,
we can assume...
But that's a chazaka. That's a different principle. It's a chazaka. How can we be so sure? Let's say it's raining outside, so maybe the air fell down. No, there's a chazaka. You have a right to assume what you don't know is good for you. That's perfectly fine. That's halacha. But if you know for a fact that the Erev is broken, then you have to stop. But the Chazaka works with the principle of what you don't know. It's a doubt. Okay. So here we have... Yeah.
What if the reasoning that Kash and Tevin to fill in a trench is not good enough to make it a Pesach or to make it a non-viable wall so that you could join...
Correct. So why here is it different?
What makes it okay that you could stack it up and it makes it okay for a wall?
I think yes, an excellent question. I believe the answer is it's noticeable. In the trench, it's not... If something will go wrong, It's a different issue because there it's bittel. What is the mechitza? The mechitza, there is the trench. You're taking kash v'teven and you're trying to be mevatel. You're not using the kash as the wall itself. You're using it as an object to deconstruct a wall. That kash v'teven doesn't have that power. But when you're using to create something, it does have power. It's different. It's a different function. In the previous case, there's a wall. The wall is the trench. You want to use kash v'teven as a way to demolish a wall. You can't do that. But when you want, you're starting with nothing. You're using the kash v'teven as the wall itself. Then it will work. It's a different objective. Okay. That's the basic idea. So let's go. I want to finish this sermon very quickly. God is shall have in shabin shnei chatzerim who gavoy asar kol gecha gmir vlatzim. Mitzvah bechom chol me'asar mitzvichim lo biyachad. Uve oy tshloi nesmai rasu lo shemechom mehem litein minat tevin lo seich pash b'shabbos achil lo levem tov. You're not allowed to let the animal go and eat from it on Shabbos because of the concern the animal will diminish the wall. And even though the Mishnah Berurah says kevan shachot ruchot, so what? Don't deliberately abuse that principle. The afila hamida sham kidesh shetoy chalos. A bigger chiddush. Even if you don't, I really jumped the gun. The first part of the halacha was you're not allowed biodayim. You're not allowed to openly. I just told you the second case. The first case was you're not allowed to go to the wall and take away from the top of the wall. What?
Actively
demolish the wall by giving it to my animals. And because kevan shehotra hotra, right? No, you're not allowed to demolish the wall by giving it to your animals. Not only that, that's what I said before, I really just jumped ahead. You're not allowed, I'm not going to touch the wall. I'll just open the gate and let the animals go on their own to the wall. So it's indirect demolishment of the wall. Ya'afilu l'hamidah sham g'day shetoy chalasar. Aval, what you could do is, you can't take the animal by the reins and bring it. But you can maneuver yourself, you can stand here and annoy the animal. And the animal says to you, get out of my way. And you say, I'm not going anywhere. You want to go somewhere else. And by doing that, the animal on its own will find itself. Oh, look at this. Gamzu l'tova. He didn't let me go. I found some food. That you can do. That's according to the first opinion. But the Mechaber points out that this is of course only on Shabbos. On Shabbos. What about during the weekday? Do whatever you want. Right? During the weekday, you can of course do whatever you want. When it comes to the new Shabbos, just make sure the wall is in Shanela the Ula Harosh. Afilu becholasa lite mimenu lukupasa. Unbelievable. The Rosh says, if you are planning to use this wall for your mechitza, even during the weekday, it's also to deliberately take from lukupasa v'chelahamra behema biodayim, because you're going to forget. Was once you make the air of one Shabbos, you use the air for the whole year. Like that was what we learned way back. The custom was to make the air once a year. So if you make the air once a year, you're gonna if last Shabbos it was good, this Shabbos is gonna be good. No, last Shabbos it was good because last Shabbos the wall was there. This Shabbos the wall is not there. You're not going to remember. The wall is no good. So even during the weekday, the Rosh says, if you're planning on using this wall, you're not allowed to do this. So the Rosh, I feel b'cholos, look at Kuf Mem, Shema Yivchas Me'asar Be'erev Shabbos, Samach L'chabin HaShmashos, V'lo Yargish B'davar. Since you're relying upon this wall the entire year round, you're not going to recognize what has happened. The only time, of course, that it's forbidden, and this is the key point, is only where you're giving them a small amount. Because you're giving it a small amount, you're not going to realize that it's now less than 10. You're not going to realize, wow, it's only 9. Because the difference between 9 and 10 is not something which is obvious. But if you, during the week, want to cut the wall down to half the size and give half of the wall to the animal, of course you can do so, because you, of course, when it's going to come Shabbos, it's obvious that there no longer is a kosher wall, and you're not allowed to carry unless you make one large. And so the Rosh is a chiddush. Even if you're planning on using this wall for your mechitza for the entire year, you're not allowed to deliberately take from the wall with your hands or bring your animal to the wall for the animal to eat a small amount. Because a small amount might take the wall from 10 to below 10. And the difference between 10 and below 10 is not something which is noticeable. And the result will be you'll be violating the laws of the Eruv Chatzeres the following Shabbos. You're not going to realize. But if you go into something which is obvious that it's not a kosher wall anymore, of course you can do whatever you want. Now here comes the last rule. Aval begodesh shebein shnei batim mutul lahachil levehemtol mimenu biyodoyim, even on Shabbos. Why? No, if you have a bias, everything we learned so far now refers to a courtyard. You have two courtyards. In between two courtyards, there's a wall of food, and there's a wall of food, and the question is: are you allowed to give your animal from this wall of food? Do we need to be concerned that the wall will be diminished less than 10 tefachim? That's because a courtyard, there is no ceiling. So it's hard for you to notice if the wall is below 10 tefachim. But in a bias, there's a ceiling, perception. Then it's very noticeable where the wall stands. Since there's a ceiling and you have a wall, and you know what the wall looks like relative to the ceiling, so then, even if the wall goes down a small amount, I have to stop, because now I'm being mavat, or I can't go down that much. So even on Shabbos itself, you're allowed to take from the wall and give straw to the animals, because you will be careful not to take so much to diminish the wall. And you're allowed to bring your animals there, because if the animals start eating too much, you will right away notice that the wall has gone lower than 10 tefachim. Why? Because a bias has a ceiling. And when there's a wall with a ceiling above, you right away get some perspective of where the wall should be and where the wall, the point where the wall may not go below a certain level. In a courtyard where you're out in the open, there's no ceiling, just the wall, it's hard to get that perception of where a 10 tefachim ends, where is 9 tefachim. But indoors, you do have that perception, and that's why we can be lenient, and we trust the person to be careful not to let the animal eat too much. Okay, we'll stop here.